Thank you, Dan. Appreciate that. And I love this meeting. This has become a staple in my recovery. Kristen M., grateful recovering compulsive gambler, no gambling to report. 6/8/24 is my clean date and the date that I hold sacred. I was looking at the calendar and today is 7/29. My last clean date was 7/28/22. So I would have had 3 years yesterday. But it's okay. It didn't even cross my mind yesterday. I just happened to look down today and see it. So, kind of a moment to reflect and to realize how long I have been in the program and part of this fellowship. This room has been a big staple for me because with small kids and a family, I often don't get onto my home meeting because it's right during our dinner. And so even if I have like AirPods in and I'm listening and I'm in the kitchen, it's hard to focus. And so this has always been my next go-to meeting, and it's definitely become a staple for me. And I appreciate everybody in here. In my first speaker meeting, I'm pretty sure I did my story, kind of what brought me to Gamblers Anonymous, kind of when I was introduced to it, and then how it slowly destroyed my life. But I think for this meeting, I'm going to focus on my life since I've come into the program. And it's been a journey in itself, for sure. On 7/28/22 is when I found my first GA meeting here on Zoom, because there was no meetings here in my city, even though there are casinos on every corner. But I found this through the GA website, just because I was angry and trying to go to the website to send some hate mail saying that GA was a joke and it's a farce and it's not real, because I finally got the courage to go into the meeting that's in person and showed up and it was a dark conference room with nobody there. So I was angry and trying to find where I could send somebody a nasty email, and I found the virtual meeting link. And thank God for it, because it saved my life, it saved my family, and it's completely changed the entire trajectory of my life. I even if I had somehow miraculously stopped gambling, through other means, I wouldn't be where I'm at today had I not found this fellowship and found these rooms. In those first 2 weeks, after I found that first Zoom room with my little Hollywood squares where people were actually there, man, I thought I hit the mother lode. Like, I was just like, okay, it's real. I found my people. I found my fix. I found the answer to this whole gambling addiction. And I was like, those first 2 weeks were like a blur. I was on cloud nine. I was just soaking in so much information. And they always say 90 meetings in 90 days. I think I did 90 meetings in about 30 days, 15 days. Like, it was not very many days because I was on meetings all day and all different types of meetings, women meetings, like small little meetings in Chicago with like six people. I ran the gauntlet of all the meetings. And I think that that really helped me kind of filter down to the meetings that I found the most helpful to me in my recovery. And that was this meeting and the Florida Daily, because I needed daily meetings. I needed something that was Monday through Friday, because I was trying to track the other meetings, but some were Tuesdays and Thursdays, some were only on Fridays, some were like, I needed to find a home where I could be 20, like seven, 7 days a week, 365, because I was a gambler. I was a heavy gambler 7 days a week. And I mean, I felt like I could feel that I was going to change. I could feel that it was going to change my life. I was really resistant and hesitant in the beginning, especially in like, I think it was like the first meeting or second meeting. They had read, we're not here to curb or, fix your gambling. And them saying to me that I could never gamble again, that literally took my breath away because I was just like, wait a minute, I did not sign up for that. I thought I was just going to figure out how to not do what I was doing, but I would be able to gamble responsibly. And so that was a hard pill to swallow. But the more I stayed, the more meetings I went to, I learned that it's like the first sip to an alcoholic. You have to stop. You have to, like, once you're a pickle, you're a pickle. Like, you can't go back to a cucumber. You can't, like, once you've crossed that invisible line, there was no going back. And I just felt like somebody was telling my story in every meeting I went to. And there was so much peace in that, just knowing that somebody else literally understood every single thing I was going through, every emotion I was going through, every, like, that feeling where you just are so embarrassed and disgusted with, like, that version of you that you don't even want to, you don't want to bring that up. You don't want people to see that mask of yours. And like, this was the first place that I felt that I could actually say things and not have any judgment, truly no judgment, because we've all been there, done that. Different version, but we've all been there, done that. And it was incredible because I don't like people. I don't have friends. I literally don't have friends. I have like one acquaintance who I go golfing with, and she's hilarious and she brings joy to my life every Thursday. But that's it. Like, I mean, I probably could call her and be like, hey, let's get lunch. And she'd be like, oh, okay, sure. But we're not friends. We don't call each other about our problems. I have zero actual friends in my life because I've chosen that. Like, I've created this bubble around me where I don't let people in. But throughout my journey here, and a lot of persistent people that chip and chip at my exterior, like this front that I have, I've let people in and I've actually really enjoyed it. And it's kind of cool having people I could call and be like, oh my God, can you believe this just happened? And they not only answer the phone, but they do it. And they're there. It's incredible. And you know, thank God I hit the point of finding GA when I did. 3 months into the program, you know, cloud nine, I'm thinking that I got this thing whooped. I'm good. I get laid off from my job. I get laid off from a job that I'd been at for 7 years, blindsided, in an industry that I'd been in for almost 17, 18 years. And not only was I laid off, but they slapped me with a non-compete where I can't work anywhere in the country, the entire country, for a year. That alone, the layoff alone would have sent me to a casino and I would have lost my home. I mean, there would have been no stopping me. Throughout GA, I found that a lot of my triggers, a lot of my key moments in my life where I went back, were work-related, financial, stress-related. And this absolutely 100% would have been one of those moments in my life where I went back into it and heavy. And I had the program and I reached out to somebody in the program and which is something I would have never done, but I called her. She was in a meeting, but it freaked her out that I called her because I never call people. And she's like, I'll call you right back. And it was just like, I got fired. And she was like, okay, deep breath. Like, let's walk through this. Let's talk through it. And it was just like, I had a calm voice on the other end in the fellowship who was able to guide me through all of the emotions I was feeling. I mean, I felt like all that proud I was there. Like, I felt like it knocked me back down into a place where I was not comfortable. It definitely flipped my world upside down and my family's world upside down. But just having that person calmly talk through it, work through it, I made it. And it ended up being like, you're going to be fine. We'll figure something out. Everything will work out. And that was a huge turning point in my life because looking back, again, I look back, that was one of those moments where it was a blessing in disguise. I didn't love my job. I was good at my job. I was an expert at my job. I had very high rank within this industry because of the time but I didn't love my job. I wasn't even truly happy at it. I was just, it was easy because I'd done it for so long. But it's one of those things where I'm so grateful now that I got pushed out because it led me into the place where I'm at now. And it's a blessing. Like, it's just when one door closes, another one opens. That's huge. Like, that to me was a God moment. And I've been trying to reconnect with my higher power, and I'm trying to build that relationship. But I look back and I'm like, I can't deny the fact that that had to happen for me to be where I'm at today. This had to happen because of what I needed to go through in my life. And after that, I mean, I had no work now. So then I was throwing myself into the program. It's the only thing I could do other than go gamble. And I was 3 months in, so I started giving service. I started hosting in the Florida Daily pretty often, two, three times a week. Like I hosted as often as I could because I needed to stay connected. I needed to keep that lifeline to keep me above water. And it did. And the fellowship was there. And I got to probably say the same thing on every share for the next like 3 months over and over and over, just because it was my entire world and I was immersed in this chaos of not being able to work. I couldn't even go work anywhere else. I couldn't even get another job in my industry because I couldn't. I mean, that's all I knew for almost 2 decades. And when you're in that industry, it's hard to just like jump to another one because it's very niche. And so I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I'm 40 something years old. Like, I'm old dog. New tricks doesn't work for me. Like, and I was the breadwinner. So there was that too. Like, it was a lot. But my husband and I made it through. And I felt like I, again, was on top of the world. And like 9 months into my recovery, I went to my first retreat. And I tell you what, that leveled up so many of the relationships I had in the program, because you get to know people, but when it's just a square on a screen, it's just different. And getting to meet them in person and hug them and spend time with them and sit by a fire and just connect, it deepens for me. It not only deepened the relationship, but it deepened my accountability in the program because I didn't want to let these people down. And, these were people that, took the time and invested in me. They invested their time and their energy. And I know it was mutually beneficial. I would like to think that. But at the same time, it was a lot because I had never really let anybody in to do that for me. And so that first year was incredible. But it was about 8 months, 9 months after I got laid off that I started needing a side gig. And I justified it in all the different ways, but it ultimately ended up being a choice that led me down a little side path that wasn't healthy for me. And it slowly, slowly pulled me away from program, right? I'm not going to say it pulled me away. I made the choice to veer off to the right a little bit. And this night job I had, I couldn't get onto my regular meetings. I used that as an excuse, but I was a year and 11 months in when I had my relapse. And I remember thinking to myself in the very beginning, if I ever relapse, if I ever decide to go back to GA, which I might be too embarrassed to ever do it, but if I ever relapse, I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to go out and I'm going to make sure I get, because I know now I can never gamble again. So I would tell myself, if you ever relapse, you better just scratch that itch completely. So I thought, if I ever relapsed, I'd be out for months, maybe even a year, but I didn't. I went out and it was like a whiplash. It was for me, I immediately remembered the carnage that I created during my gambling. I was immediately in that position of having to create lies. And because of that, those almost 2 years that I had built, it got uncomfortable to lie. Like I have this, like this, it's not congruent with who I was 2 years of being in the program. And I just couldn't do it. I immediately came clean with my husband handed him a wad of cash that I had won that night. Like, I'm like, I don't even know, like, here, take it. I'm actually going to need it back tomorrow because I need to go and make all these payments for other things. But I feel like this is the right thing to do, even though I had no desire to go back, because I got a really quick reminder of the person that gambling turned me into, and it just wasn't worth it. And I told him, and the first thing out of his mouth was, "Have you called Rick? You need to talk to your sponsor. Like, this is great you're telling me, but you need to tell him." Like, he was just like, "If you don't tell him, I'm gonna tell on you." And I was like, "Okay, just give me a day. I will. Just give me a day. Let me get out of work. Thank you. I'll get out of work and I will call him." And I did. And it was okay. So what do we do now? Where do we go? And that was big for me. Being able to come clean, being accepted, being, having to own up to my mistakes, and having somebody make me take full accountability for it. And I tell you what, it was like I was a little kid and I was trying to run away from home. Like, that's the feeling I got. Like, I was going to try to run away from home. And once I got out there, I was like, oh crap, this is not where I want to be. And I came running back, like tail between my legs. Please take me back. I shouldn't have done what I did. And it wasn't even, there was no shame. There was no judgment. It was just like, okay, what can we do to make sure that never happens again? And I was just completely surrounded and supported by people. And I thought it would be hard for me to like tell my main groups, like, this is what happened. And it wasn't hard. It was embarrassing. And there was a little bit of like, I was angry with myself because I was almost at 2 years. I was so close. But it's almost like that was just my journey. It was something I had to go through. Not saying anybody should have to go through. I'm not saying that I'm not condoning a relapse. Trust me, lots of people have done this program without it. But for me, I feel like I never fully surrendered. I could never truly accept the fact that I was a compulsive gambler. I would say it, and like in my heart, I knew it, but in my head, I was still just like, but am I? Like, I'm not quite like these people. I bet you. But it's like, I needed that slap in the face. I needed that wake up call, and going through it completely changed the direction of my recovery. I immediately started working the steps. I started working them hard. I started like truly taking the time and working the program. And I get when they say, because I had abstinence for almost 2 years and it was awesome. It was great. I learned a lot, but I hadn't got the recovery piece of it, which is what I actually needed to get where I am today. And now I'm like a year and a month and a half. Like, I'm still a young person in recovery. I only have like even 3 years of fellowship, only a year and so of like true recovery. But to know that I got here already, and I say already, it's been 3 years, but like I feel like I've gone leaps and bounds in my life. And I owe it all to the program. I don't think a therapist could have got me where I'm at without this kind of deep, connected fellowship and program. And so I'd like to say that I'll do another speaker meeting, maybe in another short period of time. It's going to be like a little check-in for me. I can go back into my recording and be like, oh, remember that one? Remember where you were at that stage? Now you can remember where you're at in this stage. And I just appreciate the opportunity to do a speaker meeting. I love giving service when I can. And now that my life is settling down a little bit, I'm on the schedule to do a little bit more in August. So baby steps back into it. But yeah, I just want to thank everybody for being here. And with that, I will wrap it up. And thank you, Dan.
Thank you so much, Kristen, for that share. That was beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Really enjoyed that. And we'll open up the room now. We've got George to is a question for Kristen.
Hello, everybody. My name is George B, and I'm a compulsive gambler. Hey, thank you so much, everybody, for your service. And thank you, Kristen, for your great share. Really, really enjoyed listening to you and related a lot. I have met you, I believe, in October 2024 in another Zoom meeting, Northern California meditation meeting. And every time I attended that meeting, you were always there. And I know you attend many other meetings as well. So I admire your attendance of meetings and your participation. And I have a question. So how important is prayer and meditation to you?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm still working on making it a habit for prayer and meditation, but I do know that starting out my day with the morning meditation meeting, it really helps me set the tone for my day. I find that it forces me to stop and pause, and then just that check-in with myself helps set the slower pace, 'cause I'm like lightning speed. Everything I do, I'm thinking about, and I have like 1500 tabs open in my head computer, and it gives me a moment to pause and reflect. And just I think of it as self-care. I find that I need prayer and meditation to help me, just me be me, and let me be okay with where I'm at today. And so I think it's extremely, extremely important. I'm still trying to make it more of a habit, and I'm getting there. I'm making progress for sure. And thank you, George.
Thank
Thank
you
you very
so
much
much.
for your answer.
And we'll go to Socky next.
Thank you. My name's Saki. I'm a compulsive gambler. Date of absence, August 24th, 1988. Adam, thank you for your service, along with Claire D, Dan H, and Tony F. Listen, I've heard you share before. I'm pretty sure I was at your anniversary when you first celebrated your first year. And I was there, maybe not your first or second meeting, when you after you gambled and you came back. Wow, strong, strong. You are a tough MF girl. You really are. I give you a lot of credit. You said a lot of things. You work a good program. I enjoy listening to you. I like the conversations we've had. Not a lot. You said something, and you're spot on. And I'm not quoting you, but you went to meetings. Your gamblers are honest. You're a GA girl. A therapist, a psychologist is not going to help you. And this is just in my opinion. Also, I agree with you. You have to, like me, we speak to people that speak the same language. I mean, a therapist, a psychologist are good for certain areas. If they're not a compulsive gambler, they didn't walk in our shoes, so they can't tie our laces. And when you said that, is spot on. I personally, I've gone to a psychologist, I don't know, 5 years ago, 6 years, 6 years ago, through the Florida Council of Compulsive Gambling. I have a situation. It wasn't about gambling. I utilized my resources. And long story short, there was a problem, and I spoke to the doctor and head of the compulsive gambling for the state of Florida, and he gave me an answer that didn't make sense. And I said to him, "Doctor, with all due respect, you're not a compulsive gambler, are you?" He goes, "No. How do you know?" And I said, "You could have all the letters behind your last name, but I know you're not." And he goes, "Why?" I go, "Because you don't speak the same language." You gave me an answer that. It's someone that's not in the program. So I enjoyed your share. I enjoy the fact that your story is great, and you're going to be around for a while. And as you know, gambling is a lose-lose situation. And hopefully, like you said, you got it out of your system. With that, I pass. Very
Thank
proud
you,
of you.
Saki. Appreciate you. Thank you, Saki.
Thanks, Hockey. And now we'll go to Smokey.
Yeah, Doc, Kristen, I'm so proud of you. Question I got for you is, and I've been trying to figure this out. Me and Jamie have been trying to figure this out. You were there a year and a month. I mean, year and 9 months. And I know you came to Sub Zero. That was the second question. But you were there a year and 9 months. Okay. The scenario I have for you is everybody, I've been in eight physique contests, bodybuilding contests, never won. Because I was honest, I never took roids. Most of the people I have are on canes or they're not alive today. And most of the professionals are the same way. And the bottom line is that Bill from California just called me too. The bottom line is, how did you manage to come on back so quick? Now, if you wasn't married, and you didn't have them baby girls. Well, them baby girls, your teenage girls. Would you have came back so quick? And the second question, what does Sub Zero bring you that a lot of people don't understand what we do?
You cut out there on the end. What was the last one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I just didn't hear the third question. You cut out a little bit on my end.
The second question was, what did Sub Zero? Okay, the first question, give it back and get these stupid phones. This Android, if I really throw it over the fence, then Joe would think it would be a bald domestic Labrador. But the first question was, if you was not married after a year and 9 months, would you have came back so fast? And the second question was, what did Sub Zero mean to you that a lot of people don't understand? Like Jamie says, if you stay around there, you're not going to go back. And I worked with somebody for 38 years, and then someone else worked with him almost 3 years, and he went back. So I think that's a valued question.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. The answer to the first question, if I didn't have Corey and the girls, I don't know if I would have even found GA. Honestly, I think I would be in jail or dead. Honestly, I don't think that I, because it was the idea of losing them. And I had to make the choice between my family and gambling. And I had to choose my family. I mean, it was, to me, it was a no-brainer, but it took way too long. So man, if I didn't have them, I wouldn't be here. I don't think I'd be on this earth. But for me, going back, it was a slow progression. It was like I was dipping my toe back into little scenarios where I was flirting with the line of, is it gambling, is it not gambling? And then it got to the point where what I was doing and like the friends I was going out with and the situations I was putting myself in, it goes against page 17, bottom line. But in my mind, I would kind of justify it, and I wasn't technically gambling, but I was, at the casino with my friends, and it was after golf. Like I had all these excuses and reasoning how it wasn't gambling, and it's not realistic for me to not ever go into these establishments because it's where we gather before our golf. And so I had all these excuses, but it's like I dipped my toe and I flirted with that line long enough that I found myself in my meetings giving my date 7/28/22, and then immediately feeling sick about it, knowing that somewhere along the line I didn't feel comfortable saying that that was my clean date. And so I've said this maybe before, but I remember the night that I had to talk myself into going out and just going to the casino because every ounce of me didn't want to, but it's like I needed to reset. And why I actually went out and did it, I don't know. I could have probably just come in and said, "Hey, I'm starting today with a new date because I'm not super clear on some of the actions I did before. I don't even know when I did the things, but I just need a new date." But it's all a matter of the choices that I made, and it was taking that job. It was being around people that lived a different lifestyle than I did, and I kind of just started, working at the bar, serving all the drinks, staying after with my coworkers, having a few drinks, and then going to the casino with them afterward in the bar, but not the casino, but in the bar. But then they go to the casino, so I mean, it's just like I sat there and flirted with it to the point where I just did not like the fact that I was saying a date that I didn't feel confident about, and I didn't like that. And then I just made myself go do it one night. And I mean, I remember I went and picked up a paycheck, was driving home, hit a stop sign where I literally am already halfway to the, I mean, I'm out of almost out of town, and I had to tell myself out loud, just turn, go, and get it over with. And I did, and I thought it would be like super quick, like throw in a 20 and be done. It was like that. And I think that's what scared me. And then I went and told my husband the next day. I was like, "Oh my God, I don't know why I did it. I did it. I did it." And the comfortability that I had to come back, I think, is what made me turn around and come right back to program because I didn't like what I found out there. What I found was the reality that I crossed that line and it immediately came back and it came back hard. And so I would not wish a relapse on anybody ever because I don't know what their level of being able to come back in would be. I mean, some people, I mean, I hear people that went out and they were out for another 10 years, another 5 years. I just was grateful enough to feel a connection with people strong enough to be able to come in with my tail between my legs and know that it was going to be okay. Hopefully, I answered that. Thank you.
The step zero question.
Step zero, and that's, I don't even know, is that going back or starting over?
Smokey asked on. Smokey, did you want to ask it again?
Oh, wait a minute. What did, okay, the second part was, well, the first part. It's, you know, man, I got to eat more than vegetables because right now I got nerve problems myself. But if you weren't married, if you weren't married, this is a very critical question because people that hit the bus, they're not married consistently. And in step zero, what did step zero mean to you? You've been on step zero a few times. Which is Liverpool? Which is Liverpool?
What does step zero mean?
Yeah, and if you weren't married, would you have went back so quick?
Yeah, no, I answered that one. I like I said, if I wasn't married, I would have never even come to GA. There would be no question. I would still be out gambling in prison or in jail. Thank you.
And Sub Zero, you've been to Sub Zero before, which is Liverpool.
I don't think I have.
Yeah, you've been there.
Okay.
You forgot.
Probably.
Thank you. We
Mom
love you,
brain.
my
Mom brain.
buddy.
Thanks, Smokey.
We love you,
Cheers,
my buddy.
Smokey. We'll go to Kelly M now for a question.
Hi, Kelly, compulsive gambler, clean dates 1/12/16. And Kristen, I just wanted to congratulate you on a great speaker share. And I know that when you did relapse and came back, you came back quickly. Was there a little small voice that you felt or heard, or did you analyze like what went wrong to decide whether or not you needed to come straight back?
It was more It was more of an internal, it was the feeling of being so uncomfortable lying again. And I knew that over that year and almost 11 months that I had built some trust back with my husband, and I did not want to go back to the place where he could barely even look at me. Like I knew that I needed to come clean, be honest about it, and just lay it all out there. And I think that that's the one thing that I am so grateful for, is that honesty piece and making that part of who I was, not just something I was, being very careful about doing. It wasn't this thing that I was just trying to, like, okay, make sure that you are honest throughout your day, honest through. I mean, I was truly changing who I was. And when I went back, I was lying, and I just immediately, I could feel, and it almost like made me sick. It was like a feeling that my body was almost rejecting. That's the only way I can explain it. It was like I was having like a visceral experience to what I had done. And that probably is a piece of the fact that I was accountable to him and the girls, but also to the people in the program. Cause I went out shortly after going to the second retreat. And so it was within a couple months of that. And so it was just this overwhelming feeling in my body, like, you need to go back and you need to get this out, because you can't carry, I can't carry that kind of stress anymore. Because I had, for almost 2 years, I had gone through such a cleansing of the crap that having that one, ex like just that one exposure to it was visceral. I mean, it was like chest tight, couldn't breathe, couldn't sleep, feeling nauseous. And so I remember I just texted my husband. I was like, just meet me at work. And he's like, why? I'm like, I'll just talk to you when I get there. Like, I just needed to get it out of my system. And it wasn't like he was like, oh, thank you, hugs for telling me. It was like, don't let it happen again, and go call your sponsor. And so it was just like, I needed to just get back to where I was and feel good about it. And yeah.
Well, congratulations, and I've
Thank
enjoyed
you.
watching your journey over the past several years. I'm just real happy for you and
I
real proud of
appreciate you. Thank you, Kelly.
you.
And now we'll go to George C.
Thank you. I'd like to thank everybody who's protecting the meeting today, and everybody who showed up. We're all equal here. That's something it took me a long time to learn when I came to Gamblers Anonymous. My question is this: two things. Have you ever been involved in sports gambling, number one? And number two, do you ever have any problems sleeping while you were gambling or now? Thank you.
Thank you. Question one, no. Sports gambling wasn't really a big thing when I was gambling. And if it was, I think I remember the things, but it was so above my head that I couldn't even dabble. I had no interest in it. I was a slot slut. And I was all about the video machines, and I didn't know about online gambling. If I had known about online poker and keno and slots, it would have been game over, because that was the big disconnect. The big rub was me being away, getting those messages at night, being like, are you coming home for dinner? And I'm like, oh, I'm just with the girls a little longer. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. And it was just like they knew that I wasn't coming home. Like it was that going to Costco for what should have been an hour turns into 6 hours. Like it was that was deteriorating the family. But if I knew I could be sitting at home around them on my phone playing on it would have been game over. But I couldn't sleep at all. Like when I was in the throes of gambling, my body was like shutting down. It was, I could not, I was going to specialists thinking that I had bladder issues. I thought I was like all different parts of my body were just like not functioning. And a lot of it was probably stress and sleep. And now I sleep a lot better. I check my little average, and I'm between 7 and 8 hours, sometimes close to 9 hours. Like have definitely got that part of my life back. And that was almost immediately from my first meeting, coming out of the bedroom, telling the girls to go play real quick, and then the verbal diarrhea to my husband about how crazy this meeting was and how I understand it now. And I was going into all the things. And that night, I just like, I don't know, it's like I had the weight of the world lifted off. And so, yeah.
Thank you
Huge,
for
huge.
sharing that.
Thank
I
you, George.
appreciate it.
And we'll go next to Nancy.
Hi, thank you, Nancy W. I'm a grateful compulsive gambler. Apologize for not turning my video on. For some reason, it's disabled. Kristen, thank you for inviting me. I have a comment and a question. My comment is, you sound great. I've known you since the day you came in. Ah, there I am. I've known you since the day you came into the program, and I just want you to know that you sound great, and I'm just really honored to be a sister of yours in a fellowship, and I'm so grateful that you're doing so well. And then my question is, I know that you travel for work and that like your girls do travel sports and things like that. And I'm wondering how you handle the challenge of finding a meeting while you're on the road. How you do that with your schedule?
That's a great question. And every time I have a trip planned, I always go on the website and I always find where they're at. Sometimes I even Google hotels that are closer, so I know that if I'm tired at the end of the day, it's only like a 7-minute drive. But to be completely honest with you, I've only been to one in-person meeting. That's my very first trip to Vegas. And honestly, I still just come into the Florida Daily in the evenings because that's my home meeting, and I have to make that choice between like, and I should. I absolutely still want to do my best to go to in-person meetings because the couple, like we had one at the retreat, and then the one time I went to Vegas, like they were great. I love the in-person feel for it, but I also like to be connected to my Florida Daily meeting, and I can't really get those meetings with no family, no kids, no husband running around behind me. So it's kind of like a treat for me to be traveling and to be able to get into my home meeting in a peaceful, quiet hotel room by myself with DoorDash on its way so I don't have to leave. Like it's, I always find time to get into meetings. In fact, there's a lot of meetings where I'll leave an appointment and I'm like getting in the car and jumping onto this meeting, you know, just in case I do the in-person. And I feel like I'm kind of old, and a lot of those in-person meetings go to like 9 o'clock at night, 9:30 at night, which is crazy to me because I'm in bed by then. Like I'm like, and then I have to drive back. Like that's gonna, and then I have to unwind. I'm too old for that. So, but I do. I always find time, and I should visit some in-persons. Maybe that'll be on my 2026 goal for next year. And I appreciate you, Nancy. Nancy was my call the day I got fired, by the way. She is the one that scooped me up out of my emotional spiral and was like, take a deep breath, slow down. So, love you so much.
Love you too, Kristen. Appreciate that answer.
That was so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for that. And it just so happens that Nancy W., thanks to Kristen, is going to be our speaker on September 9th. We just closed the deal a few minutes ago. And Nancy, thank you so much for that. It's so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's all about giving back service,
It's
and
going to be incredible.
can't thank you enough for that. So I actually listened in pretty good. Usually I listen to the recording because I'm busy doing things, but having such a great co-host like Tony and Adam in the background helping, it allowed me to listen a bit more to your share this time. I'm still going to listen to the recording as well. But there's one point in there where you kind of, you emphasized this quite a bit. And it was when you went out after 2 years and the major situation that happened. And, not only were you laid off from your job, but you're also given those restrictions of a year where you can't really do anything else. And that must have been absolutely devastating. I could feel it. And that would have been a time for me where that would plenty of excuse to do whatever I want to do. But you did it. So let me ask you. So was there something before that that you felt a trigger? You felt like you maybe weren't going to meetings. You weren't sharing enough. You weren't. Was there something missing there that you could have felt was leading up to your, you know, going back out again? I think that's so important for everybody else that's at that situation. What was it, if you don't mind talking about it?
Absolutely. That's a great question. And I have a very, very easy, exact answer. And it's that I stopped going to meetings. I was going every so often. I was almost every day, but even my connection in the meetings was lessening. And so even the nights I wasn't working, I would get on the meeting, but I was not engaged. I'd be off camera. I'd be like half listening, half watching the show with my husband. Like I wasn't engaged in the program. And meetings for me are number one. Like working the steps is great. And doing that work is great. It's imperative to long-term recovery. But for me to stay abstinent from gambling every single day, I have to have meetings. And if I miss a meeting in a day, like I said, I mean, I usually do the morning meditation and then I catch the LA International. And then when my life isn't crazy or I'm not at golf or traveling or whatever, I'm at the Florida Daily. Like my ideal day has three meetings built into it. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I love starting my day with GA. Quiet. It's a different format. So it's not really like a meeting. But then I always get my LA International in because I know that that's one time during the day that I don't have my kids around. And yes, I might be distracted. I might be working in the background. There's probably times where I look like I'm like staring into the camera where, but it's because I'm like sending emails, but I get that in case I can't jump on my Florida Daily. But ideally it's three meetings a day and I love it. And I get to, because in the beginning there was an obligated feeling. Like I have to get to meetings. I have to, I can't miss it. I have to be there. Sorry, I can't go to your concert. I have to be at the meeting. But now it's very much, I get to, like, I am grateful that I get to be on these meetings and I'm grateful that I get to change into a better person every day. But like this last weekend, I didn't get on Sunday because we were out at the lake. I was able to get on Saturday a little bit, but I was surrounded with my kids and they were like, okay, we're going to go do a boat ride. And I'm like, either the boat ride with the kids or I'm going to jump on the meeting. And I was like, let's boat ride. Like but it's an intentional choice. And I have to know that I'm making it for the right reason. And so if I miss a meeting, I'm getting like a quality moment with my family, an experience that I don't want to miss out on. Like there is a reason for it, but otherwise GA and my meetings have to come first because everything else will crumble if I don't have that.
That makes a lot of sense. And it kind of answered my question perfectly, but I'm going to back it up with one more. If there was something, and hopefully I always ask these questions, everybody, if there was something, hopefully there wasn't, but if there was something that you had a particularly difficult time overcoming, letting go, surrendering, I don't need to necessarily know what it was, but how did you deal with it? How did you get past it? How did you move on without having to gamble, without having to escape, without having to run away?
I would say that it's my awareness that has saved me a lot and given like the awareness of what is making me feel like I could very well go and get, like it was the awareness of it. And then immediately having to like go through my toolbox and having to like pull from those nuggets that people have said, you know, play the tape out, do this. And I go through like a checklist of things that I have to do. And the biggest thing is like, give yourself grace. Like sometimes it's just like, you can think about this tomorrow, put a pin in it and just get through today. Cause like I can go down a rabbit hole and I can spiral into one thing and I can get really hard on myself a lot. And so it's being aware of how I'm feeling about something and then just giving myself grace and just being like, it's okay. Look how far you've come. You're going to be okay.
Yeah, I seem to have issues with that too, reminding myself that all the time. And that's why the meetings are so important. Thank you for that, Kristen. Appreciate it.
Yes.
And at this point, Adam had to leave. He had another meeting to go to. God bless him. But I'm taking over now. So if there's any other questions or comments that anybody has, you can do so now. If not, we can go ahead and wrap the meeting and thank Kristen so much for your service once again. And yes, about 8 to 10 months from now, expect another return here, Kristen, please. We'll have you penciled in already for the Tuesday. Again, thank you so much for that. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording. But no, we have one more question. Joseph, you're coming back in for double dipping. Come on in.
Okay, Kristen, what's next for you on the agenda? And the other question, you're in the in and out of the airplane a lot. Does that bother you with the occupation you have now? And what's next for you in recovery?
That's a great question. I appreciate that. Yeah, I...
No, I wrote the book, man, so I learned from people. Go ahead.
It was hard at first. It was a struggle because, you know, a big trigger for me in the beginning was just being alone. I mean, if husband's at work and kids are at school, that was a green light to go anywhere and do anything. And so traveling, I am by myself a lot. And I can choose to go gambling or I can just choose to do my work and go back to the hotel. And it hasn't been an issue so far. Like I say so far, cause I don't know, it might be an issue at some point, something might come up where there's an issue, but I have a consistent schedule. And even with that, I build in, like I know what time zone I'm in. And I actually set different reminders and timers in my phone, like Eastern Standard Time meeting. And I even have it when I'm traveling so that I know that I'm still getting those same, hey, it's time to join this one. Hey, it's time to join this one. And I don't mind. I actually, like I said before, I appreciate kind of my travel time because it's my quiet time to do more of my pro. I've taken my step work with me on trips and I've done it on the airplane and I've written out my answers. And I'm, you know, taking pictures of them and sending them to my sponsor for the next day when we go through our, I don't let it hold up my progress. And so, you know, right now I'm working through the step of amends. I'm baby stepping through it. I'm probably being too picky and trying to find the right time and I need to just do it. But I'm thinking that what's next for me is I'm just going to keep plugging along. I'm going to probably join the next step work with Bill B and do that with him. Cause I feel like I just want to keep doing them over and over and over again and uncovering more and more. And I would love to get a meeting set up. I did reach out to the ISO, the main office, just to see if they could put my name and phone number listed under Missoula, Montana, just so somebody could have a phone number to call. Cause that would have helped me. Like there's no meeting there. No, but for right now, cause I don't have the time and space to dedicate myself to an in-person meeting yet. It's still a little bit crazy. And I want to be there and be committed to people that are coming in. So my goal is to get to a point where I can be a resource for people locally. And I haven't heard back. It's been a couple months, but maybe it's one of those things where I just need to keep bumping them because I don't know why I wouldn't be able to get just listed on the website just so that they could have a person to call. And then I could be like, hey, here's the LA International. Here's the Florida Daily. Two meetings that are every single day of the week. Same with the morning, like just give them options and go meet with them for coffee, sit down and explain, like, we don't have a in-person meeting here yet, but here's something that will help you. It helped me. It saved me from gambling. Give it a chance.